This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
All right. Thank you. Good morning. Well, I'm so glad to be back here with you, although I feel like after table talk and communion, I can just do, what is that thing that they're doing now where they're doing that microphone?
Mic drop,
right? I don't have to say anything anymore because this was beautiful. So I want to give an apology right off here. I think God is making me do this today because I needed to hear this sermon. And I needed to personally work through this. So sorry you all have to listen to this now. My little sister from Germany is on her way to America, and so she'll be here probably by noontime today, and we're going to get to spend a couple of days together. And part of me is really, really excited about it, to see her and to hang out with her. And part of me, if you know my story, also is very apprehensive about it because it brings up all kinds of stuff, right? Even the German language, hearing German language sometimes kind of brings up not so good memories. And so as I'm thinking about what does it look like, may your kingdom come, I'm thinking that's part of it, isn't it? This healing process, this learning that God is still in the process of redeeming every aspect of us. So for the last, go ahead and go to the next slide, please. For the last few weeks, you talked with Pastor Bruce about things, and you talked about Isaiah 2:1-5, where he taught about that he will teach us his way, that he will judge the nation, that he will settle dispute, and that he will beat swords into plowshares. I can never say that word right. And I love this illustration. I don't know if you can see this, but this is obviously a weapon versus this then moving over into something that can be used for a better purpose. And I think that's really what we want to be all about, right? We want to see the things that have been bad to come to a better purpose. Afterwards, you talked about, go ahead, to the point of view. What is the point of view that you are looking at? What do you see? And for some of us, as we're thinking about death, we have a certain view of what death looks like and what life after death will look like. And our response today is based on what life after death will be like. Right? If life after death for us is about being in the glorious heavens where everything is beautiful and we are singing glories to God and we're sitting on clouds playing harps and doing all of that stuff, right? Then today, the way that we live might be different than we're saying, than if we're saying, when we're living it out by saying, may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? If we're saying that heaven is glorious and beautiful, then we also need to say earth must become at least somewhat glorious and beautiful because God is about restoration and reconstruction. Go to the next one. You talked about the genealogy and what that looks like. And he taught you a German prayer that says, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest," right? This idea that we want to invite God, that we want to invite Jesus into our daily living, into everything that we do, that really our life should then reflect what Jesus is all about. We should defend the what's wrong. We should feed the hungry. We should free the prisoners. We should give sight to the blind. Jesus' genealogy really continues. It didn't just stop with Jesus, but it continues through our lives today. And so the question is, what does that look like? Go ahead and go to the next slide. I want to read this to you. God is satisfied to have all of his fullness dwelling in Christ. And by the blood of his cross, everything in heaven and on earth is brought back to himself, back to its original intent, restored to innocence again. And everything that I'm reading today for you is from the Message. But what does that look like? What is God's intention, his original intent about life? What does that look like for the children that are right now celebrating Christmas without their parents in the detention centers? What does it look like for the senior that's by themselves this holiday season because nobody cares? What does it look like for our society, for the people that don't fit into our norm, or the foster youth that might be right outside your doorsteps here, or the neighbor who is struggling, or what about our own story of brokenness? What does it mean that we're back in its original intent, restored to innocence again? As I was thinking about this for this week and thinking about my sister coming, and which always brings a lot of stuff up in my life, I was thinking about that. Is God capable? Is he intended to really restore me back to the original intent? Can he take, and I'm going to point out some things here, I'm sorry guys, can he take somebody who has been broken and you think you're beyond repair and believe that God can restore you back to the initial intent, to the original intent? Can he take a divorce and redeem it? Can he take an affair and make it work? Can he take any part of our brokenness, my lying, my stealing, my abuse, and restore it back? Go ahead and go to the next slide. There is a divine mystery, a secret surprise that has been concealed from the world for generations, and now it's being revealed, unfolded and manifested for every holy believer to experience. Living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. Can we just do mic drop here? I mean, living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. This mystery of Christ embedded within you becomes a heavenly treasure chest, filled of hope, filled with the riches of glory for his people, and God wants everyone to know it. I want to stop here, right? I want us to think about, what does that mean? I mean, inside of us, God's glory. And he wants everyone to know this. That includes all the people that are on our hate list. Of course, we don't have a hate list. No, never mind. We have a, we don't like them. They are different than us kind of a list, right? What does it look like to live like this? What does it look like to live in this hope-filled world? Living within us is Christ. What does it look like for us during Christmas season? When you go to the store and everything screams at you and saying, buy one more, get one more. What does it mean? Does it mean that we are more smart in our choices on gift-giving? And that it's not about the finances that we spend, but the heart that we spend. What does it mean when we don't get wrapped up in the politics? What does it mean when instead of us blasting on Facebook or social media or even in the presence of other people how we feel about somebody, what if we slow down? What if we pray first? What if we kind of reconsider our own opinions about something? I had this experience yesterday that was one of those, stab me in the heart things, right? My church has a Christmas Eve service, and I love, love, love our Christmas Eve service. It's dark, it's candlelight, it's beautiful music, relaxed, holy moment. For me, having grown up in the Catholic Church, this was like, I always look forward to this, right? And then they decided at the end of the service to have a hot chocolate bar and gifts wrapping presents and a party. And I'm like, I don't want that. I want my holy moment with God. And I was very judgmental about that. And then I had a conversation with somebody who was part of creating this party atmosphere around it. And she said, yes, you, and she didn't quite use these words, but you as a 60-year-old woman want this quiet and serene moment. But there are 20 and 30 and 40-year-olds who have no recollection of ever sitting quietly in a room like this. They would rather be together and party and celebrate the birth of Jesus in a party. And if we want to reach these folks with the good news of Jesus Christ, then you got to be okay with not having your quiet, holy moment. And that was really hard for me because I still want my quiet, holy moment. So I'm going to go to Catholic Church on Sunday, on Tuesday night. But do you understand? Sometimes we have to rethink and we have to hear what other people have to say because I might be totally wrong. I mean, it might be very self-centered in that. And I was. It means that we recognize that we don't live in a conspiracy theory that we don't have enough. But that we understand that God is a God of abundance and that He has a treasure chest that's way bigger than we could ever imagine. For me, it means that I'm not as judgmental, not as opinionated, not as frustrated and self-centered. And stepping back for me, because living within us, living within you, within me, is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. Go ahead and go to the next one. In the same way, you received Jesus our Lord, the Messiah, by faith, continue your journey of faith, progressing further into the union with Him. Your spiritual roots go deeply into His life as you are continually infused with strength, encouraged in every way. For you are established in the faith you have absorbed and enriched by the devotion to Him. I prefer, the 5-minute gospel. Right, my devotional in the morning is always like, okay, God, I really want to be quiet before you. I really want to dig deeply into the roots. I really want to be grounded in you. And then after 2 minutes of silence, my brain goes, did you put this down? You need to do this today. Do you remember you got to buy this? You remember you have to do this? You remember you forgot this call. Do you know you forgot this call? You really should have this call right now. Actually, you should put this on your list right now. Okay, I want to be rooted in Christ. I want to be rooted in Christ. 2 minutes later, right? Let's be real. This is me. This is how I function. This is how my heart works oftentimes. But I also recognize that if I am not rooted deep down in Christ, then everything else in my life is just shallow chaos. Shallow chaos. And I need to figure out what does that look like for me? What does it look like for me to be grounded in Christ? Because I cannot be the example for other people of Christ living if I'm not living it out myself. As you already know, I am the activist, right? I don't sit still very long. But that also means that I make very fast, rash decisions oftentimes. And not very biblical rash decisions. Because, I'm of course have it all right, and sometimes people have it wrong, I think. But to be grounded in Christ means that we step back, that we take the time, that we are aware of what God does. When we're living in the Advent, in the coming, in the future, not here yet, of the kingdom of God, what does that look like? Colossians 2:6 has a couple of examples. Go ahead and take the next slide, please. You're always and dearly loved by God, so robe yourself with virtues of God, since you have been divinely chosen to be holy. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others, and be compassionate, showing kindness towards all. Be gentle and humble, unoffendable in your patience with others. Tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith, forgiving one another in the same way as you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you find fault with somebody, release this gift, the same gift of forgiveness to them. For love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. Amen. Right? I mean, that's all I want to say. Be merciful, endeavor in your endeavor to understand others. Be compassionate, show kindness, be gentle, be unoffendable. How do you be unoffendable when somebody disagrees with you? When somebody talks about Trump, let's just be here real for a moment, right? And when then a Christian magazine talks about Trump, and all of a sudden everybody goes, oh, what are we going to do? When we're talking about abortion, when we're talking about homosexuality, when we're talking about homelessness, when we're talking about race, when we're talking about greed, how do we step back and become compassionate and unoffendable? How do we do that? We can't do it unless we're deeply grounded, deeply rooted in Christ. Love becomes the mark of maturity. As you know, I have a very high sense of justice, which means everything in my head wants to be right or wrong. Right? And so I constantly have to struggle with that. I constantly have to deal with my own issues and recognize that I don't always got it right. And that there might not even, may I say this, a right or a wrong? Because we all have a story. Right? We always say, don't judge the book by its cover. We all have a story. I'm reflecting about what I want to do for my New Year's resolutions. I know you said, what is yours? It's not a resolution, it's a intention. I like that. Right? Because my resolutions never make it to a resolution. It's always an intention. I like that much better. But can I learn that I don't want to be easily offendable? Being unoffendable. Be gentle and humble and patient. Many years ago, one of my bosses was Jim Ziervogel, who was a missionary for many years. I'm not taking offense to that fact you're leaving me here right now. I'm being unoffendable right now. Jim Ziervogel was one of my bosses many, many years ago, and he was the gentlest, kindest person I've ever met, and he absolutely drove me bonkers. Because people would just walk all over him, for my opinion. And so sometimes I would want to go on my high horse, and I'm going like, stop abusing him, right? Stop taking advantage of him. But I think he was also the one that probably lived out the most this scripture, of just being able to step back and not be offended by things, of letting God be the one who handles what comes in the future. Let's take the next one. Look at how much encouragement you have found in your relationship with the Anointed One. You're filled to overflowing with this comforting love. You have experienced a deepening friendship with the Holy Spirit, and you have felt His tender affection and mercy. So I'm asking you, my friends, that you be joined in perfect unity with one heart, one passion, and united in one love. Walk together, one harmonious purpose, and you will find my heart with abounding joy. Why am I sharing these scriptures with you? Why am I not focusing on the Christmas message? Why am I not talking about Jesus alone? It's because we end up being part of his genealogy. We are the next ones that now live out what Christ has taught us. Because if I don't live this out, if I don't live out what Jesus has taught us, how will people ever know? How will people ever know who Jesus is? People are not going to go around and saying, hey, here's a scripture, just read it and you know what to do. Right? Or, the groups that hand out little books of scriptures. Great intent, right? But none of us just pick, well, that's not true, because I've heard of stories where people have picked up the scriptures and discovered Jesus. But most of us need hand and feet to go with that. And we, you and me, get to be those hand and feet of Jesus. We get to be the ones where people can look at us and say, oh my goodness, is this what Jesus is like? Right now, honestly, when people look at me, they're not looking at Jesus. Because I have a lot of issues going on in my life. And sometimes it's easier to not dig deeply into the roots of the faith. Sometimes it's easier to just do the Christian thing, right? You know, stay active, go to church on Sunday morning, do a Bible study on Wednesday night, tithe properly, don't use a swear word, support our president, whoever he is, and what else? Oh, vote. And then on Christmas and Thanksgiving, do your good deeds, right? That's sometimes how we reduce Christianity to those things. But that's not it. Go ahead and go to the next one. Be free from pride-filled opinions, for they will only harm your cherished unity. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your heart, but in authentic humility, put others first and view others as more important than yourself. Abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interest. And consider the example that Jesus, the Anointed One, has set before you. Let his mindset become your motivation. God moved into the neighborhood. The creator of the universe, right? When you look at stars, when you look at a brand new baby, when you look at, when you eat some really, really good food, and you go, God did this. And then he comes down to earth as a baby who needs his diaper changed, to say it nicely, right? Who has absolutely nothing to contribute to the world for the first few years. Who comes dependent. Who moved into the neighborhood. Jesus did that. And that should be my model. That should be my mindset. I shouldn't get bent out of shape when there is a party after a Christmas service. I shouldn't get bent out of shape when Jim doesn't follow through on everything that I'm asking him to. I shouldn't get bent out of shape. Sorry, honey. I shouldn't get bent out of shape when somebody doesn't live up to my expectations. We shouldn't. We should be able to be like Christ. Go ahead and go to the next one. He existed in the form of God, yet he gave no thought of seizing equality with God as his supreme prize. Instead, he emptied himself of his outward glory by reducing himself to the form of a lowly servant. He became self and became vulnerable, choosing to be revealed as a man, and he was obedient. He was perfect example in his death, a criminal death through crucifixion. Oh my goodness. Emmanuel with us. 2,000 years ago. Emmanuel, December 25, 26, 27, 29, 28, 29. 365 days a year, 8,760 hours, or 500,000 minutes for 2020. The question is, am I willing to give it up? Am I willing to give up my own egocentric behavior, my own sinfulness, my own agenda? Am I willing to lay it down, be deeply rooted in Christ, and go, it's all for you. Emmanuel, God with us. I want us to watch just a short video, and hopefully technology will all make this all work. Yeah, I'm just going to sit down and wait. So why do we want to, so that we look better? So that we kind of can stand up and go, I got this. Or so that at the end, every knee will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. We live the way that we do. We think the way that we do. We engage with our friends and enemies the way that we do. Because we represent Christ. We want folks to understand that he is so much more than this little baby in the manger. That he is about forgiveness and healing and restoration and every aspect of life. Do you have one more slide for me? And if not, I'll read it to you. Philippians 2:12 says, and now you must continue to make this new life fully manifested as you live in the holy awe of God, which brings you to. Do we understand? Do I understand is and what he has done for us, inviting us to be part of? Jesus Christ, our hope for glory. But he's not just doing this one time a year at Christmas and then we do it at Easter again. It is every single day that we get to live this out. 500,000 minutes a year. Is there one more? Or did I totally miss it? Okay, let me read it again to you then. And now you must continue to make this new life fully manifested in you as you live, which brings you trembling. Celebrate Christmas as you make intentions for the new year, as you're trying to sort through what does my life look like? How do I spend my waking and my sleeping hours? Let's do this awe of this Redeemer God. This restoring of all things, restoring this world back to him. So that when people, they go, good job. And they live it out. You live it out what God does. So there's 1 week left. I know it's Christmas and then comes New Year. But what if we would make an intention of saying, I want to be deeply rooted. I want to live out that God came and became human and that we get to be part of that restoration of God's kingdom. So that when people see us, that they recognize that his kingdom may come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right? Thank you.